This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Continuing the journey and living with the builders of a nation. And we're going to cover another builder today, unique one from many aspects. Sayyida Maria al-Qubtiyya, Maria the Egyptian Christian or the Egyptian Coptic. So she was very different from the ones we learned so far. Number one, she lived in Egypt. Number two, she was not a Muslim. Number three, she was not a free woman. She was a slave, she and her sister, serving the governor of Alexandria. When the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, after the seventh year, after Hijrah and the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, he starts sending letters to the neighboring countries, inviting them to Islam. Very common custom at that time. Governors send gifts, which done today too, but that kind of a gift is different. They usually send slaves. So she and her sister were sent by al-Muqawqas to al-Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. They were not very keen about that, as you can imagine, who wants to leave their country. However, their hearts were leaning toward Islam. They already heard about it. And in fact, she became a Muslim before al-Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam married her. What is unique about her? 4 points, they say. She was very beautiful, hardworking, fast learner, brilliant. So scholars have two opinions before she got pregnant. Was she a slave or she was the wife of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam? More opinion states from major scholars like Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, like Ibn Kathir, that she was actually the wife of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, the most important incident and the most important addition this builder added to the house of prophethood, she got pregnant. After all these years, as a Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam had children from Sayyida Khadija and all the other wives did not got pregnant from him. That's not only the case, but by the time he married Sayyida Maria, he have lost all his children, the boys and the girls, except Sayyida Fatima. She was the only one living. He lost all of them. You can imagine. Now, she got pregnant. And what joy she brought to the house of prophethood. She didn't live with the other wives. Rather, she lived at the outskirts of Medina. And this is something Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, honoring her, making it easier for her, is to let her live on the outskirts so she can get used to it gradually. And he used to visit her every single day. Now she got pregnant, and now she delivered, and delivered a boy. And the boy name is Ibrahim. And who called him Ibrahim? Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Sayyidina Jibreel. He came to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and he told him, you will have a boy, Ibrahim, the father of all the prophets. And you can imagine the love and the connection that Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam had to this young boy. The name is Ibrahim after all these years. And as the tradition of the Arabs in that time, they usually send the young breastfeeding children also outside their homes to be breastfed by special mothers. And that was the case with Sayyidina Ibrahim. So they have foster family only to breastfeed them. That's a very common custom that time. And the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam used always to go visit Sayyidina Ibrahim and described by the Sahaba that when he go, he carries him, put him on his lap, and he kisses him. The love and the affections that the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam had. And if any one of us have been tested, and we say we have been tested very hard, none of us was tested as a Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam and a Sayyida Maria. At age 2, in her house, Sayyidina Ibrahim became sick. At 2 years of age, the young Ibrahim became ill. And the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam went to visit him. And he took him from the hands of Sayyida Maria. And the last breaths the young boy had in the hand of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. You can imagine. At this point, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam starts crying. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, as this narrated by Imam al-Bukhari, looked at him and says, Ya Rasulullah, Anta Ya Rasulullah, you cry? And that's the beauty of our Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. He responded and says, Innaha rahma ya Abdul Rahman. This is a mercy. It's not a weakness to show your feelings. It's a mercy. Allah put it in the hearts. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, washed him and buried him. So you can imagine the pain. At the same time, there was a solar eclipse. And people in Medina said, wow, out of the sorrow that we are going through, even we are having an eclipse. And the faith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam and the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said his famous statement that no, neither the sun nor the moon will go through eclipse because of the death of anyone. Rather, it's a sign of the signs of Allah subhanahu. So he buried him. Sayyida Maria stayed in Medina, on the outskirts of Medina after him. She was described afterward that she was very private. She spent time in worship. She didn't leave the house other than going and visiting the grave of Sayyidina Ibrahim. Shortly after the death of Ibrahim, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam also died. So you have a woman who lost her only son, and what a son. And then she lost her husband, and what a husband. Now the marriage brought a lot of benefits to the Arabs, to the Muslims. Since she was from a different country, then that marriage strengthened the bond between the Arabs of different countries. And the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, honoring her mean honoring her people. And he instructed that people treat the Egyptians with kindness and very well. And this continued even after the death of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. When Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As became the governor of Egypt, he used to remember this, what Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam had instructed. She passed away in the year 16 after Hijrah, at the time of Sayyidina Umar. May Allah be pleased with him. He actually performed the prayer over her body. She was buried in Baqi' next to her son Ibrahim. May Allah be pleased with her.